one towards the goal. That's going to be blocked by Travis Wigeon.
Well, this is more like it.
This is Slang in the Biscuit. Here's Travis Wigeon and Dave Wheeler.
Ladies and gentlemen, lads and ladies, this is going to be Slang in the Biscuit episode 47. It is an episode with a new team, some breaking news. It's hot off the press. It's a great day. Not only is my co-host, Mr. Dave Wheeler, slicing and dicing up in the city of Winnipeg, the number one morning radio show in the city, he is clean shaven and a cut too, a fresh chop. No,
oh yeah, I tried to go with the Gareth Bale, the Gareth Bale look. So I still got the hair, the top part, just got rid of the. It's yeah. Listen, I figure you got all this new stuff going on. I wanted to have some new stuff going on. We all both got new stuff going on.
We both got matching, well, not matching haircuts, but we both got matching chops today. No,
yeah, there you go.
How's this look?
Yeah, I love it. You should put it, racing stripes. I'm telling you, go racing stripes.
Oh, I forgot about that. Actually, I got so distracted when I went to go get my haircut today. The missus told me, God bless my, I have the most amazing woman, Victoria. She says to me, she says, if you don't get your eyebrows fixed up, because currently it's a unibrow, if you don't fix your unibrow, don't come home. Go back to the barbershop. So we got it fixed up. So I don't have the Anthony Davis eyebrow anymore, and I got the mullet topped up, and I got the beard tapered down in. So we're feeling good. We're ready to go. Early and often, fell. The ice is ready. Let's go.
Eyebrows on like AD. I love it. By the way, shout out to the NBA entry draft and all the Canadians that got drafted this past Thursday night. Congratulations. I'm telling you, we're taking over the NBA one player at a time.
I saw the atmosphere at the Sea Bears game, the new pro basketball team in Winnipeg. The atmosphere looks pretty good from what I've seen.
Yeah, it was a surprise to me when they decided to go out of Canada Life Center, the same place that the Jets play out of in the NHL. But they decided to go with a smaller kind of setup. They don't use the upper bowl. They do kind of a horseshoe. Yeah, it's a good look. Nice seeing pro basketball back in downtown Winnipeg after the Cyclone. Was the Cyclone? Yeah, the Winnipeg Cyclone had their go years ago in the convention center.
Well, speaking of team names, the originality, the parody in the FPHL, actually, which is obviously our main headliner for today, is unparalleled. So in the FPHL, you have the Mississippi Sea Wolves and the Watertown Wolves. Doesn't stop there. You had the Delaware Thunder and the Carolina Thunderbirds. And that, I think, is where the parody ends. But a lot of originality. And almost every single team in the FPHL is the colors of red and white or red and black and white. It's crazy. Not a lot of blue, not a lot of purple, not a lot of other unique colors.
Well, they say the stats show that teams that wear red unis have a better winning record when it comes to championships, and that's across multiple sports. But I think the best ever example of a league holding similar names is the, you called it the Comedy Football League last week, otherwise known as the Canadian Football League, when they had not
also
only
the Cartoon Football League too.
Not only did they have the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, which they still have, once upon a time they had the Ottawa Rough Riders. The only difference was there was a space between the Rough and the Riders.
I have to say though, for I obviously know it's a hockey podcast, if you've never seen the video of the Saskatchewan Rough Rider fans wearing the watermelon helmet. And to paint a picture for you, if you're not on the video version of the show, which is on YouTube, by the way. So these Saskabush Rough Rider fans will take a watermelon, they'll cut out the red part, like the flesh of the watermelon, and they're not making like watermelon margaritas. They're carving it out so they can wear it as a helmet, like a hat. And they wear it to the game. And as the game goes on, it's, you know, summer plus 30 plus 20, it just festers all these flies and this bacteria inside. And it's like, what is going on? Just think of the lice and the infections that you would get from having this watermelon juice just on your head and in the heat of summer and just festering for four quarters in the Cartoon Football League.
God love them. It's the, I will say, and Winnipeg Blue Bomber fans, I think, are the loudest, but I think the Saskatchewan Rough Rider fans are probably the most dedicated in the entire Canadian Football League. They are a city of just shy or just over 300,000 people, and they fill that Mosaic Stadium to 35,000, just shy of that every single other weekend. And God love them, man. The melon heads. They're like the equivalent of the cheese heads for the Packers fans. And they, yeah, they show up in droves, dude.
Oh, they absolutely do. I just want to say go blue, go Blue Bombers. The home opening game is this weekend. And as far as
Already had that. We're 2-0. As the point of recording right now, Winnipeg Blue Bombers in action at home against the BC Lions, looking to make it 3-0.
Well, what do I know? I know nothing.
I'll take care of the Winnipeg stuff. We're good.
Thanks, Dave, for saving me. The headlining news for this week. Breaking news. Hot off the press. The headliner for this week. It's the moment that we've been waiting for a while. Dave, are you ready?
Let's go. What do you got?
Drum roll, please. Yours truly was a part of a blockbuster trade earlier this morning, including five players from the Virginia, we don't know what we're called, to the Watertown Wolves. Yours truly is now the starting right bench for the Watertown Wolves in the FPHL, the Federal Prospects Hockey League.
By the way, I'm curious to know, the Withville, Virginia team, the unnamed Withville, Virginia team, did you spend enough time there to possibly have your number hanging from the rafters?
The greatest player to ever not step foot in the arena.
You didn't even have a number yet. They're just going to put Ridgen up in the rafters somewhere. He was here for a cup of coffee.
By the way, they do have a name. I have the official name of the Withville team, which we'll get to in a minute. We'll get into that with some FPHL news, but you want to get into the Watertown stuff, a little bit of talk, just kind of explaining how the situation came to be, the trade, all those other kind of good juicy details, which we crave in the podcast programming every Sunday.
Well, listen, I kind of want to set this up for any new ears that we have to the podcast or new eyes that we have to the YouTube version. But so you were a Motor City Rocker for your first year of the FPHL. Hip surgery took you out for the second half of the season. You've been rehabbing. The expansion draft happened with the new team, and you got picked up in the expansion draft. Now they had a situation where they could either sign you, that you were property of Withville, and they had up until the start of the season to either sign you or trade you. And after some conversation with the ownership, it still kind of wasn't quite sorted out. And next thing you know, you're officially a Waterton Wolf. Is it Waterton or Watertown?
Watertown, H2O
Town. Okay.
Like the beverage you drink, you know?
Watertown, which is actually in upstate New York, for those that don't know, and just a stone's throw from, one of the most densely populated areas of Canada, that right on the U.S.-Quebec, Ontario border. And actually, my folks don't live too far from you, and Kingston, Ontario, the home of the Tragically Hip, is just up the road.
Right down the Ontario-Quebec corridor, also home of the Headstones. In my favorite song, I love to sing, in the words of the Headstones, "Everything's legal in Kingston, man, as long as you don't get caught."
Technically, that was the Traveling Wilburys, but they appropriated that. I'll give it to you.
Tweeter and the Monkey Man?
Yeah, that was a Tweeter. That was a Traveling Wilbury song with Roy Orbison, Tom Petty, and a handful of others. Bob Dylan.
Incredible band. Also, home of Mike Smith, number 41 for the Arizona Coyotes, Edmonton Oilers. A couple of amazing teams. A great goalie. Home in Kingston. Play for the Kingston Frontenacs, by the way.
Yeah, good team.
But anyway, back to the Watertown news. So I was traded. And we have to rewind things a little bit. So the way that things shaped up to be. So with Motor City this season, obviously I was the infamous starting right bench, which some people, including my girlfriend up until recently, didn't know what that meant. It means I start on the right bench and I open the door. I don't actually make my way into the crease. I'm just by the door opening bottles, giving guys double bubble gum when need be, filling bottles, and just overall good for the morale. I actually used to work a job as a Zamboni driver at the rink in Winnipeg. And the boss there told me one time, and he's like, "Ridge, come here for a second." I'm like, "What's up, boss?" And he's like, "You know what? I would fire your ass right now because you're useless. You actually don't contribute anything to this workforce, but you're just so good for the morale." I was like, what does that mean? He's like, "Guys are happy. Things are getting done. It's a good mood. It's good energy when you're around. Although you don't accomplish anything, but you're good for everybody else's productivity. So I have to keep you." And I kept that job for 9 months.
You're like an entourage guy. You're just a good hype man. You're just you just kind of keep everyone in a good mood. That's an important person to have if you have an entourage.
I'm the ultimate hype man. The missus and I are going to Toronto in 2 weeks. She has a wedding for a friend that I promised I would go to, and she's been getting all these new dresses in the mail, and I've been hyping her up, telling her, "Honey, you look good. I like this one, I like that one." Trying to get her, not trying to get her to feel good about herself, but let her know just how much I love her and how good she looks. So I am the ultimate hype man. You need a wingman, I'm the man for the job, especially in Watertown.
You need to get a clock to hang around your neck like Flavor Flav from Public Enemy back in the day. Flavor Flav!
But so the Watertown story of how the trade came to be. So I'm in the Motor City, and this is a series of events that I believe, I'm not super religious, but I do believe God has a role to do with this story, because I don't know how else to otherwise explain it. So to start the season in Motor City, originally the management wanted, I was going to back up opening night for the home opener, and then I was going to be scratched for games 2 and 3 in Port Huron. Now, our other goalie, Blake Scott, didn't have any insurance. So as an American, he needs to have insurance. As a Canadian, you don't, is what I was told in Motor City. So because he didn't have any insurance, I backed up all 3 games, right? So after that, the next weekend, we had a road trip to Watertown. I would have backed up game 1 and then been scratched game 2. But because Blake didn't have any insurance, I was scratched game 1 and I backed up game 2. Now in game 2, when I drew back in the lineup, we're warming up in Watertown, and Charlie Pence Jr., number 32, their captain last season, he comes up to me, and I told the story in the podcast when it happened. He asked me, he says, "Why does everybody hate you?" And I said, "I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out myself, to be quite honest with you." And then, he had some nice things to say about, the vlog and just things that I'm doing to try to help pump the league and try to bring people to games, which I really appreciate. It was very nice. And I left thinking to myself, like, wow, that guy was just so nice to me. I don't know why he said those nice things, but it really touched me. It was very nice to hear. And the game starts, and, you know, a line brawl ensues, and he ends up fighting our starting goalie, Babs, best goalie in the FPHL, in my opinion. I'm biased, but it is what it is. And so Babs gets into a fight, kicked out. I get into the game, and because he fought Pens, Pens gets kicked out and is now watching the game. Now, later on down the line, Trotty would be promoted to general manager of the team, which is what he is now. But during that night, he got the chance to watch. I got the chance to play. It was my only real action, if you want to call it that. And he got to see the whole performance. Started off a little bit shaky, as we, you know, talked about. Very nervous coming in after a brawl on a, you know, a Saturday night in Watertown. The fans are hot and horny. They want to see me fail. They want to see us, the Motor City Rockers, fail. But after that, settled down, and we ended up getting the win. We killed that 6-on-3 for a minute with the empty net to close out the game. And just, in my opinion, FPHL game of the year. I think one of the most, if not the most, streamed game next to the finals, game 5 of overtime, is the next most streamed game was my debut against Watertown, which I haven't checked that in a bit, but I do believe that is the case. So he gets to see that. And then fast forward kind of as the season goes on, I get my surgery. I'm gone, obviously. And obviously, Watertown was the team that was trying to make these trades for me the whole time that we've documented throughout the podcast. And now fast forward to here, Virginia takes me in the draft. They own my rights for Motor City. Had some communication with the new coach in Virginia, in Wojtek, and then Barry Soskin, our owner, and ended up just dishing me to Watertown. And the deal was, so the Watertown Wolves have acquired former captain of the Port Huron Prowlers, former champion in Watertown in 2018 when he won a trophy, the Commissioner's Cup, Dustin Henning, also the best mullet in pro hockey. I'm telling you this, Dave, oldest D-man in pro hockey at 40 years old, second in FPHL games played all time, but only behind Joe Pace, the legendary Jackie Moon, Joe Pace himself, and the best hairdo at 40 years old. Him and myself from Virginia heading back to Watertown. Well, he's heading back to Watertown. I'm heading to Watertown in return for their goalie, Adam Wisco, Matthias Tihan, and then another player, and then I think there was something else to be like, I can't remember what it is off the top of my head here, but that was the deal. So they're going to Virginia, we're going to Watertown, let's go Wolves.
Unbelievable. What a way to work your way around the league. You've almost got half the teams in the league covered already, and you're not even a full year in.
What do you mean as far as, Motor City, Virginia, and then Watertown. There is now 12. Oh, that's a lie. There's 11 teams now, which is some news that we'll get to in a couple minutes. We got some very interesting things in the FPHL that shaped up this week. But so that's 25% of the teams.
Over a quarter. There you go.
I never stepped in the building for one of the teams, but yeah, so I've been officially owned by a quarter of the teams in the FPHL. Oh, don't forget about the Columbus River Dragons in 2019 when they had me to camp and they had me on a PTO. So that's 4 out of 11. Does that count as a third?
That counts.
Does
that count?
Also, I got to give a shout-out to Steve. Now, Steve is a fan of the Columbus River Dragons. He bought my Columbus River Dragon jersey out of camp. So they printed the jersey with my name, my number, and everything, sold it to the fans. Steve bought that jersey. It's a goalie-cut jersey. And I will say, got to give credit where credit is due. It's a very beautiful jersey in Columbus, but he wears that jersey. And I see that, and I see my number 33, and I see Ridgen on the back, and I get a little bit pissed off because I'm like, I don't play for that team. We need to get you the real deal. You need the current jersey. And so I think with this season, when we go down to Columbus, if I have to, worst case, I'll do it myself. I'll pay for a jersey out of my own pocket. And I want to swap jersey with Steve. I want to give him the Watertown jersey, and we're going to convert a Columbus River Dragon fan into a Watertown Wolves fan. How great is that?
One at a time, man. I love it. Whatever it takes. Like Captain America said, whatever it takes.
We may not win today. We may not win tomorrow. May not even be next week or next month, but we will win you over. Everybody's going to be a Watertown Wolves fan, and we're going to win this year. And I got to say, too, also, just on an actual serious note, in my communications with Charlie Pens Jr., the GM for Watertown Wolves, I have never had somebody be so honest with me. Like, he tells me something is going to happen, it happens. He tells me this is what's going to shake down. It is what it is. It's exactly the way that he described. His players are vouching for him. I got to give a shout-out to Everett Thompson, my former teammate, in Motor City, which I still do owe $20 for that calzone in Binghamton, which I will pay him back for this season. At some point, I will give him the $20 that I rightfully owe him. But he's vouched for Penzi all the way. So this guy's an amazing guy, straight cut, straight shooter, no BS. The guy gets stuff done. John Armentitis, I played against him when I was in Sweden my last season. He now plays in Watertown. He's like, Penzi is the man. He delivers. He takes care of guys. There's nobody else I want to play for. So to Charlie Pens, I just want to say thank you for believing in me. Thank you for giving me a chance. Thank you for bringing me into a team where, I mean, after I knocked down that guy's beer can pyramid behind the glass after that 7-6 win, I probably wouldn't want to acquire me either, which we'll put the video, obviously, in the video version of the screen for you to see. But just thank you to
you might owe him a beer. Yeah, if you're watching or listening to the podcast, Trav owes you a beer.
Yes, to the guy wearing the high-vis vest where I knocked down your beer can pyramid, please reach out, send me an Instagram message. I will happily buy you a beer and even a hot dog.
He had a high-vis vest on. Was it Vigo from Britain's Got Talent? One more time. That guy? Was it him? No, probably not.
I love that song, by the way. Who one doesn't? More time. It's Who time to doesn't? Celebrate.
Yeah.
That was a goal song for the VIU Mariners when I played, well, practice college hockey there. One more time.
Good old Daft Punk, man. One of the best electronic bands of our generation.
Amazing song. But in all seriousness, just to finish up, though, to Charlie Penns, thank you for believing me. Give me an opportunity to come into Watertown. To you know the ownership, Ashley, Tyler, Reed, thank you for just making me a Watertown Wolf, man. I'm excited to wear the navy blue and the baby blue. I could not be happier to be coming to Watertown to help with the community, to try to bring people to the rink and get people excited, to ultimately make a difference, to be that locker room guy. I know my role. I'm not ignorant to the situation. I'm not the starter day one. I'm coming in. I need to prove myself. Obviously, the team's going to be putting me in a position to succeed, but I got to get this hip 100%, which we're hovering in that 80-85 percentile range right now. Got to get strong, pass the fitness testing, perform in training camp, and I got to earn my stripes in Watertown and ultimately make Charlie Penns look like a genius. And to Charlie, I promise you, you won't regret this. And in the words of Jordan Belfort and Wolf of Wall Street, the only regret is that you wish you bought more. Yeah. Or in this case, you'll wish you have done it sooner.
Now, listen, I'm just looking at some images of Watertown, New York, and this is it's an old school city. Like, this is turn of the century. They were coming around, and you're looking at about 25,000 people, and you've got some outlying areas. But yeah, this is it's a good town. I'm familiar with the area. What you have to worry about the most in the winter is ice storms.
But that's not a problem, though, when I have my Sheath underwear. The presenting sponsor for the show and has been since day one. What do you say, Dave?
I'll tell you. You know what? I'm always trying to figure out new ways to try and tell my buddies how awesome this pair of underwear is. And they're like, dude, you don't even tell me about underwear. I'm like, oh, no, but I do. And I think I figured out a new way to try and get you on board with Sheath underwear if you're not wearing it already. You probably have maybe a knockoff pair or whatever. Maybe you're wearing your boxer shorts. Maybe you're still on the tighty whities from when you're a kid. Time to cut the cord. Time to let go. Here's the deal. Every morning when you put on a pair of these Sheath underwear, you get to put your man in a hole.
Mm-hmm. Biscuit right into the basket with sheathunderwear.com.
Every single time.
Sheath underwear has this incredible technology called the dual pouch. If you're in the video version, you'll see on the video version of the screen what I'm talking about. But it's a separated, segregated compartment where your dick and your balls slide into separately, where they're compartmentalized and they're aerated so they can breathe. They can feel comfortable. They're not bat winging, sticking to the side of your leg. You don't want that. And trust me, on those hot Watertown nights in the summer, and especially when it gets cold, you don't want them freezing to the side of your leg. After practice, there's nothing worse. You get out of the rink, a little bit sweaty, it's sticking. You don't want that. Sheath prevents that. And when you go to the link in the video description on the YouTube video podcast or in the audio notes on Spotify or Apple, you click on that link, sheathunderwear.com, the code BIZKIT69, BIZKIT69, will get you 20% off the greatest pair of underwear money can buy. I guarantee you're going to love it. Only at sheathunderwear.com.
You're going to see, I'm just looking, like there are certain buildings in Watertown that kind of remind me a little bit of Winnipeg.
Ooh, I do love Winnipeg. I'm a patriotic Winnipegger.
Yeah, imagine.
I don't know, I told you about that.
Imagine the Exchange District in Winnipeg as far as their town square, and that's kind of what you're getting.
I will say, in the brief experience I had walking around Watertown this year when we went for a road trip, and I'll put some drone video on the screen from you know what I got there, but it is exactly like the Exchange District. These old school architecture buildings. They're just sexy. Can I call a building sexy? Is that weird?
Yeah, not at all, man. I'm a fan of architecture too, and you can absolutely use that word as an adjective to describe this because, yeah. Now, out of curiosity, do you know what your living situation is going to be in Watertown?
Yes. So it is going to be a little bit of an upgrade from the previous situation in Motor City where I was sleeping on the couch in one of the team housing. It is going to be and I apologize in advance to anybody in Watertown if I'm screwing up any details here, but I believe it's going to be a four-bedroom apartment for four guys where we all have our individual rooms and it's just a shared common area. So kind of like university living, I believe. I could be wrong with some of this information, but apparently it's a great setup and it's a big upgrade from what they've had in years past. So it should be a really good setup and great Wi-Fi too, apparently, which obviously as we do this show and with the vlog is essential.
I would say so. How close are you to the rink?
I think a 10-minute walk away. Obviously, I don't own a vehicle, and I just want to confirm this already. I will take the Amtrak to Watertown. I believe train Vancouver to Winnipeg and or Toronto and or whatever other situation with me and the missus having to figure out our moving situation for the fall. And then the Amtrak Maple Leaf from Toronto to Buffalo and or Syracuse, drop me off, and then right on down to Watertown. So I'll take the train on for the start of the season.
Absolutely. Yeah, the train goes right through there all the way down to Rochester. Yeah, good call.
I got to say, too, I am a premier member with VRL. I'm the highest member of points member you can be at VRL. So I get exclusive access to lounges when I'm an economy passenger. I got all these awesome perks. It's great being a VRL or premier member.
And you got to send me a new hat. I need a new lid. That looks like a good logo. Reminds me of the old Keanu Huskies logo. Yeah,
It is nice. It's crisp. The navy blue and the baby blue. I believe the baby blue is going to be phased out this season, but just the navy look with that just kick-ass wolf. It looks great.
Yeah.
It looks great. I know my mom's going to be looking forward to a hat too, you as well, and then the missus is going to love her Watertown jersey for home games this season.
I'm curious to know what the train ride is from Watertown to New York City.
So it doesn't go directly to Watertown. It's going to go Syracuse and or Buffalo area, and then I'm going to have to get picked up and then brought to Watertown. But it's about a 12-ish hour from Toronto Union to New York Penn Station.
Okay.
On the Amtrak, Maple Leaf.
All right. So maybe a weekend off could get you down in the Big Apple.
Yeah. We can get you down to go see your family in Ottawa, and then you can boot scoot boogie on down, Ottawa to Toronto, Toronto to Watertown, and come see a game. You could join the guys behind the glass heckling me with a bullhorn.
Oh, I'm going to be building my own beer pyramid. Don't knock it over.
Mine's bigger and better.
No, honestly, man, in all truth, I think for your mental health, just knowing that you got a spot for next year, that's got to feel good.
Well, I don't have a spot. I want to be very clear about that. You know, Penzi and I have been very clear that there is no spot. Everything is earned. So if I come into training camp and I suck, sorry, I don't have a spot. But I'm going to be put in a position to succeed. I'm going to be set up for success. And if I do what I know I'm capable of doing, it's going to be a very successful season. Simple as that. But everything is earned.
Well, at least you know where you're going for training camp. How about that?
Yes, there we go. And I know how I'm going to get there too, which is great.
It's kind of nice to know. It's like, all right, now I can make a schedule as far as getting there.
And that's big too, because me and the missus obviously have to move our stuff from Vancouver. I think she's going to be living in the Kingston-ish area, moving down there closer to her family so she can come see me for games, which is awesome. I can't wait for the missus to see me play. She always reminds me too. She says, you know, you're a great man. You're very good looking in her eyes. Obviously, you know, if you're watching the video version, you say, God damn, you look like a stump. And it's true. The only guy uglier than you is that Dave Wheeler. God damn.
radio for a reason.
Also, this is also breaking news. I am no longer the ugliest guy in the Motor City Rockers and or the Virginia, whatever we're called. I can't because I'm not on the team anymore.
There you go.
So somebody else will have to take that role. What was I talking about again? Oh, yeah. The movie situation. Sorry. PTSD, OCD, all these magical
chemicals. Too many bucks in the head. Yeah, we get it.
And the chemical imbalances in my brain. But so she's going to be coming down to the games, and she reminds me all the time, you know, you're all these nice things, but I don't really know if you're a good goalie. I generally don't know. She's like, I haven't seen you play. And I'm like, well, you see me skate with these 12-year-olds when I rehab my hips. She's like, well, you don't really take pucks. You just kind of skate around. I'm like, that's very true. But I'm bigger than them, so that's got to count for something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's about it.
You definitely stand out amongst a bunch of children, for sure.
For all the wrong reasons. To quote the best-selling album of this century, Nickelback, All the Wrong Reasons.
There you go. Speaking of which, Nickelback just played Winnipeg this past week. So shout out to them.
They did, and they're in Vancouver this week, and god damn, the tickets were expensive. I would have loved to have gone. I'm in Halifax on Monday, so I'm going to be missing the Nickelback concert, but if the tickets were affordable, I probably would have changed the dates, and I would love to have seen Nickelback live.
They put on a good live show, man. I've seen them a handful of times. One of my favorite ones was Everclear. Did they open? They opened up for Everclear, I believe, at the Max Bell Center in Calgary. And that was back in 99 or 2000. That was a good show.
I promise you we're going to get back to some FPHL talk in a second, but do you have a favorite Nickelback song and or album, Dave?
Oh, on the first album, they did...
This is early for doing music talk, isn't it? We're only like 15 minutes in, we're doing music talk.
That's all right. We've already mentioned the Tragically Hip, Traveling Wilburys, Headstones. We've been trending this way. It's all good. They did an acoustic version of Leader of Men, which I absolutely loved on that first album, The State. And it was the non-label release, too. And if you ever get a chance, Leader of Men, the acoustic version, Chad's rasp through some of those pre-choruses will get the hair standing up on your arms, I promise.
It's a song about magic mushrooms.
Is it really?
Yeah, I remember they're doing a live show in Edmonton, and he says, hey, how about we do a song about magic mushrooms? And then Leader of Men.
Perfect. There you go. I learned something today. Thank you, Travis.
Hey, at least that makes one of us.
well, no... We also learned a little bit about Watertown today, and you learned that the Traveling Wilburys actually wrote the song Tweeter and the Monkey Man.
Well, and I'll say this, my favorite Nickelback album, The Long Road, I think is probably my favorite album. All the Wrong Reasons was amazing, but I'm going to go with The Long Road because I will be taking The Long Road to get my first FPHL start from the Motor City Rockers to the Virginia What's We're Called to the Watertown Wolves, where I am undefeated. Never lost a game against the Watertown Wolves. Undefeated in life as well, as Dave likes to remind me. I'm going to be continuing, hopefully, continuing that those winning ways and bringing that that grit and that work ethic and that character to Watertown. Nose down, get stuff done, know my role, support the team, and just help us produce.
Now,
help us get wins.
That's until you can convince the league to do all of their travel by train. I remember last year when you were in Motor City, you were talking about the trip all the way up to Watertown and how that was one of the longest ones of the season. So, and again, keep in mind,
this it was one of the shortest ones, actually, to be honest with
you. One of the shortest? Okay. So,
yeah.
But being that, I'm guessing that is the most northern team in the league. And this comes from a guy who played in Fort McMurray, where our shortest ride was 4.5 hours and our longest ride was 8.5. So what does this do for your road games?
Okay, so to my knowledge, and I apologize to anybody into the New York or the tri-state area because I will mess this up, but I do know to Motor City is about 11 hours, and then Port Huron is probably about 10.5-ish, which would be a road trip where you play Port Huron, Motor City, Port Huron, then home. The Elmira Mammoth are 45 minutes down the road, and then Binghamton's 2 hours down the road, and then Danbury is 3? I could be wrong. Danbury is the closest team to New York City, as far as I'm concerned, or as far as I'm aware of. And then the Delaware team would have been, I don't know, 4 hours, which they folded. We'll get into that in a second. But the road trips down south, I think, are still going to be in this 16, 18-hour range. Might even fly. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I think that we might be flying. Or sorry, as far as I'm aware, we might be flying to the Mississippis and the Baton Rouges for this season.
Okay. All right. Well, that's...
It's a long bus ride. It's a lot of money for that bus.
Yeah, no kidding. 18 hours. You're looking at a day and a half, and man... That those bus legs coming off a bus after 18 hours wouldn't be awesome.
I'll tell you this, though. What if we did this? And I know Joe Pace is smiling somewhere. He's smiling down on the show somewhere, singing the biscuit. What if we took the team bus from Watertown to Syracuse, got dumped off, took the Maple Leaf down to New York Penn Station, arrived there 9 p.m., slept in the Penn Station overnight, a nice play along the words of Charlie Penn's, our GM, but New York Penn Station, and then boots good boogied from the New York Penn Station all the way down to New Orleans, about a two-day trek. The boys can enjoy the restaurant car, the dining car, the sleeping lounge, all this kind of stuff. Kick back the legs, stretch out, and we'll show up ready to roll into Baton Rouge for a win, for a six-point weekend.
I still think it would be ideal if you guys could get a deal with Amtrak. And, the boards, some of the boards would be wrapped with the Amtrak logos and really kind of get a partnership in with being able to move around the Eastern Seaboard via train. I'm sure they're doing fine. I'm sure they're not having any issues, but to be able to partner with Amtrak for the FPHL, it would be great for the FPHL.
Speaking of trains, I did want to do a little bit of an update on the Withville situation. So, Withville, we wanted to call them the Withville Express, which we confirmed last week was no longer going to be the Withville team. It's going to be the Virginia team. Now, I stuck to the guns and said it's the Virginia Express now, right? Now, one of our Patreon members, one of our loyal subscribers, Dale Denichuk, Double D, this was his idea, so I can't take full credit for it, but he said we should nickname the arena, the Withville Fairgrounds Coliseum, the Forum, we should nickname it the Station,
mm-hmm.
or the Roundhouse, mm-hmm. and we should put a water tower outside just so people know that this is where the Express play. What do you think?
I love it. I absolutely love it when teams take things that...
So, for the record, I shouldn't say we. I should say they now, because I'm not part of we. I'm part of Watertown. That's their issue now.
Part of the league, Express, though. So. Part of the league, I think, when you're in the league, you can say we as a league.
I know, but I don't want people listening to the show saying, oh, well, he's still identifying as a member of the Virginia Express. Well, I'm not part of Virginia. I'm a wolf now. I'm a Watertown wolf. Just let's get that straight here.
But I love the way your brain is already going, yeah, they're the Virginia Express. No question about it. Virginia Express. Yeah, that's their name.
But I did want to say to the state of Virginia, to the town of Withville, the surrounding areas of Roanoke and West Virginia, I want to say thank you for the time together. It was a very, very memorable 2 weeks we spent as I was a member of your property. To our new coach who was just hired a couple days ago, to our owner who drafted me, thank you. I will forever cherish the memories and the phone calls and everything that we shared together. I know I've never stepped foot in your arena or into your county or into your state or city or township for that matter, but I will always remember it and cherish it. Thank you.
I'm going to quote one of my favorites of all time, Sarah McLachlan, when she said, I will remember you. Will you remember me? Probably not.
Well, back to what you said. Do you think Virginia will retire my number? Probably not, because I don't have a number. Well, I never got a number.
Next time, when you show up there for the first time, if you stick around a little bit late when you're scraping somebody's jockstrap out of the rafters, take a Sharpie and write your name up there. You can say, "Yeah, my name's up in the rafters in West Virginia. Yeah, with Phil, I got my name up there."
Bring a can of spray paint. Trav was here. Ridgen was here.
Yeah, I want to talk some actual NHL news because I reported this on my radio show. But man. The corners of the internet that like to spread rumors and theorize and play fantasy general manager regarding the Winnipeg Jets. Holy moly. It sounds like even though the Jets said, no, we have no plans on rebuilding. You know, we're happy with our core. It looks like they might be in a full rebuild mode based on what Connor Hellebuck has been saying.
Yeah, would you agree that if he leaves, they have to rebuild? If he stays, they have to do something. You can't have the best goal in the league and rebuild the team.
Well, from what, and again, this is just all hearsay, but from what I understand, he's looking at Vasilevsky money, which is, just shy of $10 million. And you're basically leveraging your entire future. And I mean, with that rumor, then there's talk about, do you buy out Blake Wheeler's contract? Do you hopefully try and trade him and get a few draft picks somewhere? I mean, I will give Kevin Cheveldayoff, general manager of the Winnipeg Jets, I'll give him credit. He's kept a good stable of players, up and comers. And when it comes to a northerly team like that, there's it's not a secret. You have to build through your draft, and you have to make sure you're bringing up players like Cole Perfetti. He's going to be a gamer once he can get a little stronger and get through this little injury-prone situation that he's going through. But if you can't build through your draft, you're not going to be able to attract players outside of guys like Nito Niederreiter to come and play. And if you don't have a solid goaltender to kind of entice guys to do that, then you're definitely relying on your stable of players through the draft.
Agreed. Hey, I was born and raised in Winnipeg. I'm a Winnipeg Jets fan, but if you trade Connor Hellebuck, you deserve what you're going to get. That's the guy's only reason you made the playoffs this year. It's the only reason you really had any success the last 5 years. He is, in my opinion, the best goaltender in the National Hockey League. He doesn't have that flash that a Vasilevsky or Bobrovsky has. He's not flexible, but he's technical. He gets hit. Right time, right place. Got a little bit of that athleticism, that beautiful glove save on the goal line against Vegas, game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs this year. He's just an incredible athlete.
Sure.
The mental side. He's worth every penny.
We're swooning over Connor Hellebuck. I get it. I 100% get it. But here's the thing. If you got a goaltender like that and you have zero chance of contending for the Stanley Cup, then it's a waste. And now when he's at his peak, because he's not going to get any better. Like he's at the top of his game right now, and hopefully he can stay there for a couple more seasons. Then he starts going down, and then based on what you can get for him, again, talking about your future, and I understand if you get rid of Connor Hellebuck, you're going to take a bit of a dip. I get that. But you're not going to be contending for a cup with him. You're not going to be contending for a cup without him. So financially and thinking about the next 5 to 6 years of the club, which is the better move in your mind?
But look at this, though. Look at the Edmonton Oilers. With the exception of the 06 Cup run with Wayne Rolison when he caught fire at the right time, captured that lightning in a bottle, they haven't had a starting goaltender since Bill Ranford. And that's the reason why they couldn't get to the Cup final and win it all this year, because they can't get a save. When you get that guy, right, the Philadelphia Flyers as well, when you get that guy that is your rock, that makes saves, that keeps you in games and gets you in the playoffs, you can't just dump him.
Yeah, but again, I'm going to go back to the strategy of what the Las Vegas Golden Knights did, where they took a bunch of middle guys. They didn't have a top guy. They didn't have a bottom guy. And that was top to bottom of the team. You look at the Edmonton Oilers, they're front end loaded. They've got one of the best offense in the league. I'll say they have the best offense in the entire league. And they said, listen, we got the best offense in the league. Our defense is questionable. So it's on you. If we lose, it's on you. And they've said that basically to every single goaltender. Your job is to stop more pucks than we put in net on the other side. And goaltenders need to know that they've got a little, like, when you've got guys waving from the opposite blue line going, good luck, we'll be up here when the transition happens, hope it goes well for you. I mean, no goaltender is going to be able to go in there and have success unless you put some defensive defensemen in there or some defensive forwards in there, guys that could maybe contend for the Selkie. You're not going to have a successful hockey team. And I know, to all my friends who love the Edmonton Oilers, I get it. I grew up an Alberta boy. I was there once upon a time. I understand. You've got the best player in the game right now. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. You've got a handful of them, but you don't have a balanced team. Look at the Vegas Golden Knights. Guess what they had? A balanced team. Do the Winnipeg Jets have a balanced team right now? No. They're back-end loaded. They're completely back-end loaded. They got Connor Hellebuck, and that's about it.
They got some decent defense, no?
They got some decent defense. They got Josh Morrissey, who put up an incredible offensive season this year. Really good. They were not expecting him to do so, but he did. You've got Blake Wheeler, who's on the back nine of his career. You've got Mark Scheifele, who's probably at the top of his game right now. You've got Kyle Connor, who could probably get you another 10 goals per season. That looks really good. Cole Perfetti's on his way up. But there's more upside to the Winnipeg Jets right now. And a guy like Connor Hellebuck needs a team that's at the top of their game right now. That's where he's going to succeed. So to me, if I'm the gentleman, and again, I'm doing the same thing that I give, that I throw shade at Winnipeg fantasy GMs for all the time. I'm going to play that role of like, I know how to figure it out. Balance your team. If you have to give up a goaltender to balance up your team more, if you have to give up Mark Scheifele to balance your team more, proof is in the pudding. If you have a balanced team, you're going to win championships.
I don't know. I feel like it's easier to build from the back four and, you know, pick up some players along the way. But speaking of getting better as things go, the Patreon membership. If you are not a Patreon membership in the Patreon club, look at this. Look at this beautiful collection or set of Collector Series cards. These are free. When you become a Patreon member today, you're going to get this awesome Sling the Biscuit sweater. You're going to get this incredible collector set of trading cards from some holographic ones as well as some regular ones, which you'll see on the screen. And ultimately, my woman loves this. I don't know why she does, but she does. The Sling the Biscuit coffee mug she drinks out of every morning. And I don't think I've shown you this before in the podcast live, Dave. You'll see in the video version, there's the podcast logo. And on the backside, boom, right there. There is my face, unfortunately.
It'll make you want to drink your coffee with your left hand.
It will, and it'll make you want to drink it that much faster to get away. But if you join the Patreon page, it's only $5 a month to join, and there's different perks and different levels. So, for example, if you have spent a lifetime of $20, whether it's you've been a $5 a month member for 4 months, or you just joined today for $20, you're going to get all the stuff included. You're going to have to email me, obviously, your size and your shipping information so that I have it so I can place the order, but that's going to be coming for free. $5, $10 memberships, all this kind of stuff. Matter of fact, I'll even do you one live. I'll put a bounty on this right now live on the air right here for you, Dave. If somebody joins to become our first $100 Patreon member, this is a one-off. There's only one of these in the world right now, this collector's set of cards in the glass case. $100, this is yours. I think it looks pretty good.
You know what? Honestly, that would be the coolest game of tic-tac-toe ever.
Ends really quickly, though, because there's only 9 slots, obviously. But the Patreon page, if you want to join to support the show, there's a link down in the video description to join. Anyway.
By the way, speaking of Patreon... Speaking of Patreon, can I send a quick little shout out here? I had a very nice back and forth. We were talking a couple of weeks ago on the show about and I said I like good hockey hair, but sometimes too long a hockey hair is too long. So I got a great email, not a DM, good old fashioned electronic mail.
There's no other way to reach you.
From Gary, who sent me a note saying that his son is playing over in Mass. Goaltender, great salad. And he said, what about this? Is this hair too long? Hair is long that when he's got it flowing out the back, it goes over the name bar. Goes over the name bar. And I was like, huh, too bad I can't read his last name with that salad he's got. And so
can I put the picture of his son on the video version? Or is that not going
to
be okay?
I don't see why not. But here's what I love. He sent his kid off to play hockey. And he said, listen, there's a likelihood that older players are going to probably use that as a hazing thing, like, oh, let's shave the new kid's head or whatever it may be. So he asked him, said, do you want to go there with long hair? And he says, yep. He says, okay, I'll cut you a deal. You leave here with long hair, you come back with long hair. You got to show a little spine. That's your hair. So the team loved the hair. Not only did they love it, they gave him a new nickname. They call him Space Jesus, he who saves.
That's incredible.
Which I love. So big shout out to Gary. And yeah, I appreciate the email. By the way, if you want to email me, it's really easy. It's to email me at my radio station. It's Dave, D-A-V-E, at energy106.ca.
I still think we need to get you an Instagram account. Dave Wheeler Podcast. I'll run it. I'll deal with all the fan mail, with all the people with pitchforks and torches that want to show up at your house. And we'll just, you know, throw out your Jets picks for the Jets games. We'll throw up some podcast clips, some hot takes from the show, and we'll call it a day. You don't even have to manage. You don't have to deal with it. I'll manage it.
Dude, I don't trust family members with the passcode to my phone. Do you think I'm going to give you access? Yeah, go ahead. Run my IG. Email.
We could call it Not Dave Wheeler. How about that?
Oh, sure. That'll go over great.
Oh, so I'll bet you one of the listeners from the show is going to start that Not Dave Wheeler Instagram page. I guarantee you, somebody will do it.
There's been a lot of imposters out there who have tried to set up Instagram and social media pages pretending to be me. It's not me. This face, this brain, not on social media.
Well, you can partake in one of the biggest scams out there right now. In $19.95 a month, you can get a blue check mark on Instagram. I don't know. It feels like everybody on Instagram is getting verified. The blue check mark that I worked so goddamn hard for 3 years ago means nothing because everybody can get it now.
Yep, sure can.
But we can get you one too. Verify Dave Wheeler Instagram page.
Ooh. Can I? Tell me more.
Well, we'll to the
like I said, I already said, if we get 200 Patreon members, if we get to that threshold of 200 Patreon members, I will set up a private Instagram account. You can hear me bitch about all the hockey stuff that I do and Wrexham AFC and all of my favorite sports teams from across and all the PGA Tour stuff, including Rory McIlroy's hole-in-one that he got at the Travelers Championship on day one. You can hear me do all that, but the threshold is set. 200 Patreon paid subscribers, and you will have exclusive access. It'll be a private page. I would do it for that.
Let's do it public. Let's do a public page, though.
No,
200 members.
No, because there's no incentive. Only the people that sign up get the access.
I'll figure out something else. We do have some more FPHL news, some very, very minor stuff to finish off before we did the NHL talk real quick. Also, I'm going to throw something in the video version. Sorry, I'm so scrolly at this moment in time. Aiden Hill, Stanley Cup champion. There's a video that NHL recently did on his morning coffee setup, and I couldn't believe how much of a flop this video was. It only got like 1,000 views on YouTube. Absolute gold mine, I thought. Aiden Hill breaks down his morning routine coffee setup. Now, apparently he used to be a double-double dishwater coffee kind of guy, but his old lady got him the whole shebang, the Chemex, the pour-over, the filters, the grind-your-own-beans, everything. And he has this whole setup. Obviously, the video will be on the video version of the screen. And now he's a coffee snob. And you can kind of tell in the video, which I sent to Dave already, but you can tell in the video he's trying to play it off like, oh, you know, I'm kind of into this. I'm not super aware of the bean choices. I mean, the Australian beans have a lot more better benefits than the American beans, but I don't really know that much about it. I mean, the pour-over setup, the grams of water, I don't know anything about it. I just kind of got into it. I fell into it ass backwards. This guy is a coffee junkie. Aiden Hill, we salute you.
Honestly,
on this show.
I was expecting him to shave his head, grow a goatee, and walk around saying things like, I am the one who knocks. Like, he's like the Walter White from Breaking Bad of coffee. That video that I saw, that's what it reminded me of.
It's pretty hardcore. It's awesome, though. But as far as FPHL news, we've got a couple of news. So first off, let's do the Virginia thing. So I was told the official name of the team, Dave, is going to be disappointing, named after the NHL expansion team that never came to be in 1997. The Virginia Rhinos is the official team name.
Okay.
Virginia Rhinos.
Doesn't do anything for me.
I like the Express better.
Yeah, so do. And again, I kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, but I like it when teams name themselves after like an industry that's in town, like the Detroit Red Wings. That makes sense. The Motor City Rockers. That makes sense. You know, they've got a very strong history in music. I'm trying to think of another one. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers were actually named after Joe Louis, who was called the Brown Bomber. And when they were the rugby team, they're like, man, those guys hit like Joe Louis. So they called them the Blue Bombers instead of the Brown Bombers. I just love it when teams like the Pittsburgh Steelers, like it's a steel town. I love it when it's related. It really kind of gets you engaged as a fan to go, oh, yeah, well, I'm a steel worker. I'll go see a Steelers game. To me, and again, your team, you do what you want. Rhinos, I get it. Thick skin, strong, you know, always plowing forward. But it really doesn't represent your neck of the woods.
Does anybody know if there's any actual rhinos in the state of Virginia?
No,
call me stupid or a tinfoil hat wearing kind of guy, which no. I to an extent am. I don't think there's any rhinos out there. Maybe in the Appalachian Mountains, but
no, there's not. They are safari, very hot climate animals.
We are the Virginia Rhinos, and the closest rhino is about 2,000 miles away.
Bingo.
Outside of this, the Virginia Station Arena.
Yeah, missed opportunity, but hey, you know what? I've gotten used to disappointment over the years.
Tell me about it. So speaking of names, the new Elmira team, which is now owned by the league, has a new name. They will be called the Elmira Crush, and the logo is going to be up in the video version of the show. Now, they made a deal with the local Canmore or Camrose Crush to use their logo on their jersey, so it's going to be a red and black team, again, going with the theme of everybody being black, red, and white. And funny enough, the Elmira Crush are only 90 miles from the Syracuse Crunch. Interesting.
Now, are we talking like Camrose, Alberta?
I don't know. That's a good question. I was like, that's a little bit far away to license the Camrose crush.
I'm pretty sure that's their senior team, like the Allen Cup team. That makes sense to me. But you've got the Syracuse Crunch not too far down the road as well. Like the logo, like the name. But again, I don't know. Missed opportunity.
Yeah, kind of, to an extent. Also, this
great,
is
great logo, though. Great. I love the North Viking kind of, yeah, I like the North Viking look.
It does look pretty nail gun, pretty tough guy. But the last little bit of news, so we talked about the Delaware Thunder, and this is why I said the FPHL is never a dull moment. It's a league that truly never sleeps. So last week, we had confirmation that the Delaware Thunder were relocating to New Jersey for the season, and they're going to be coming back to Delaware when the new rink was built. For whatever reason, they pulled the plug at the last minute and said, actually, you know what? I don't want to sign this lease. We're just going to go dormant for the season. So there is no Delaware or New Jersey Thunder. They're going dormant for the season while they rebuilt this rink, which they were kicked out of. They're going to be building a new one in Harrington, Delaware, or Dover, I believe it is. They will return for the 24-25 season. So it will be an 11-team FPHL league this season. And these will be the division formats as follows. So in the South is going to be the Carolina Thunderbirds, Virginia Rhinos, Baton Rouge Bio Blues, Columbus River Dragons, Port Huron Prowlers, and the Motor City Rockers. In the North, Binghamton Black Bears, Danbury Hattricks, no longer the Delaware Thunder, the Elmira Crush, Mississippi Seawolves, and the Watertown Wolves in the North Division. All 11 teams in the FPHL this coming season.
Okay. All right. Again, nice to know that you got it set. You're ready to go. You know he's in your division. You kind of know your travel schedule. It's good. It's good. Getting things in engaged before we get to fall. I like it.
Absolutely. I love it. And also to my teammate, my former teammate in Motor City, my now new newly acquainted teammate in Watertown, Everett Thompson. He gave me an amazing story. He told me the other day, he's like, dude, we got to write a book. Him and I were talking about, we're going to write a book of my stories in the FPHL, his stories in the FPHL. Obviously, he's been in a lot longer than I would or I've been, but we could do a book together one day. And that book's going to be all these amazing stories. And this will probably be one of them, is what he told me. So, reminder.
Listen, between you two think tanks, just promise me one thing if you're writing a book. Just promise me that you're not going to fight over the crayons, okay?
It'll be a picture book. Because I can't read. Actually, yeah, this is a true story. Victoria and I were at Chapters or some bookstore the other day, and she's like, what do you think of this book? And I just ripped through all the pages. And I'm like, where are the pictures? She's like, it's a novel. I'm like, whatever. I just put the book down and I went to go find someone else on like Landscapes of Vancouver or something along those lines.
Where's the centerfold in this book?
It's too many words, too many pages. But so Everett told me this awesome story. So now the tycoon of the FPHL, Barry Soskin, who owns five teams, and I say tycoon in a very nice way, but he owns five teams, the Port Huron Prowlers, Carolina Thunderbirds, Mississippi Seawolves, the Virginia team, and Baton Rouge, so five teams. And so the first team that he ever owned, apparently, was Port Huron, then followed by Carolina. Now, Everett was playing for the Carolina Thunderbirds, and he also used to own the Mentor Icebreakers, who are no longer around. And so Carolina is in Ohio, middle of a snowstorm, bus breaks down after the game. It was fine before the game, after the game, not so much. So they both shared the same bus because they had to head back to Carolina for a 2-2 or 3-3, whatever it was. So the Mentor Icebreakers and the Carolina Thunderbirds shared the same bus to head back to Carolina, owned by the same team. How tense is it? Here's the question for you, Dave. So it's the Mentor Icebreakers bus with the Carolina Thunderbirds heading back to Carolina. Do you take an upper decker?
Oh, 100%. Absolutely.
Nobody shit in the bathroom.
Oh, shit.
That reminds me, we're playing a game in Paradise Valley, and it was our first time playing in this barn. And I'm not exaggerating when I say barn. And after the game, when we showed up at the dressing room, we realized that there was no can. And if there's no can, that means there's no showers. You got to go down the hallway. And then we quickly realized after the game that we were lining up with our towels to shower with the opposing team.
Wow.
One stall. You stand in line. You get in. You get out.
Dave, it's pretty cold in here, no? Or is that normal for you?
No, that's the best part. It was just a stall. There was no curtain or anything. It's just like you get in, you soap up even beforehand if you want to, and you get everything ready, and you go in and you rinse off, and then you get out because there was 40-plus guys waiting to get in there to shower after a game.
What a world. The hockey world is just so crazy. Stuff like this, the travel stories, the you guys all sharing one shower stall, it's just, it's awesome. It's why we do this podcast, why I love doing it with you, and all of the other kind of stuff. But we speaking of things to do, if you have a date night coming up, we got to talk about the second presenting sponsor for the show, manscaped.com. I got the brand new Manscaped Beard Hedger. It has 20 different lengths, 90 minutes of battery life that only Manscaped team can offer. The Beard Hedger kit comes with some awesome creams, some balms, some oils for your beard. Kind of get it tapered. If you see me in the video version, I got mine tapered up today at the barber, and I will continue to be tapering up my neckline with the Manscaped Beard Hedger, as I always do. I got the beard oils, keep it nice and soft and fluffy, the shampoo, the conditioner, and you can get that at manscaped.com with a link in the video description or in the Apple or Spotify notes. Manscaped.com, click on that, put in the code BISKIT, BIZKIT, 20% off and free shipping. Only at manscaped.com, and thanks to them for sponsoring the show, and as they will be doing so into August. So
I used mine to get myself ready for my 11th wedding anniversary.
That's tomorrow, by the way.
Right? It was 2 days ago, based on when this podcast is being released. Yes, it was this past Friday, the 23rd. 11 years with my amazing wife, the Candace Ray.
So what are you doing for the missus for the anniversary?
It's her year to organize, so we alternate years. Which I think, honestly, if I can give you a piece of marriage advice for anybody, she was the one that brought it up. She goes, it shouldn't always be on the male. She's never like that. She's like, why does it always have to be on the male? It's a partnership. It's two of you. So we alternate years. I get the milestone years. That makes sense. So I get the even years. She gets the odd years. This is her year.
So what you're telling me is that the baloney pony is all saddled up and ready for a rodeo on the...
Ready to go, man. Ready to go. I'll be hopefully sleeping shortly thereafter.
Okay, night, honey.
Pretty standard practice, yeah. Thanks, Manscaped.
Tell me about it. Very relatable. We got a couple minutes left in the show. We got a little bit of more mainstream news. Just want to, obviously thoughts and prayers and whatnot with the team, the family, the members that died in the Titanic. Recently, I know the Titanic sank over 113 years ago, but the submersible that imploded on them, what an interesting series of events. You have the billionaires getting in the boat that they know is controlled by an Xbox controller. You haven't seen it, so to paint a picture for you, you've got five billionaire with a B, they hop in this submersible to go down to the Titanic wreck. Apparently, it was only approved for 13,000 feet of diving. The Titanic's about 40,000 feet deep. And it goes down there. All five guys is controlled by an Xbox controller. And I'm not being dramatic. An Xbox controller is actually what drives the submersible forward and backwards. And I guess they got about 3/4 of the way, maybe even 4/5 of the way down there. About 2 hours down. It takes about 2.5 hours to get down there. And for whatever reason, the submersible just... something came loose, whether it was a screw, just something failed catastrophically, and then boom, whole ship imploded. And I was curious how an implosion works, Dave, with the submarine at that pressure, because at that depth, it's about 6,000 pounds of pressure per square inch, which, from what I was researching, is equivalent to putting two polar bears on your index finger, pressure-wise. Like, you just put your finger down there, and you balance two polar bears on that nail. Is the pressure of the ocean down at that level. And they talked about how when the submarine implodes, it's basically, it just crumples itself upon itself, and just it happens so quickly that everything inside turns to about the temperature of the sun. Like, the friction happens so fast, and then instantly, obviously, everybody's gone. So that happens in about 30 milliseconds, the whole process.
Awful stuff,
is that too,
man.
Is that too much? Is that too much for the show? Depressing?
No. Well, listen. I mean, it's one of those historic moments that will not be forgotten for quite some time. Now, I just want to add a little bit of context to the Xbox controller that you're talking about. Now, you got to keep in mind that this information started coming out years ago, but the Navy started. If you've seen old movies like U-571, Hunt for Red October, any kind of submarine movie, you'd normally see an ensign sitting in front of a large board in front of him with dials and boom, 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 sonars and all that kind of stuff. With this new generation of soldier that's coming up, they were all raised on a gaming controller. So you've got your X, Y, O, and all the buttons, and you've got your analog sticks, and then you got your L1, L2, and we all grew up on those. And I mean, our dexterity for that is so good that they thought it might actually be easier to train them on that, like training them for a new video game, like any other game that you play. Is like, you got to learn the controls real quick. How much easier would it be to train them on that? And it was actually really successful, to the point where manufacturers started going, well, let's do this for general use as well. Now, where the issue arises in this situation on the Titan, they had a third party after. You know when you go over to a friend's house and he's like, hey, you want to play Mario Kart? And you're like, yeah, absolutely. I love playing Mario Kart. You're like, cool. And they throw you like an aftermarket non-Nintendo controller. You're like, well, I know I'm going to be losing this race. That was basically, it was a third party aftermarket, not the one that actually came with the boat. It was just a cheaper option to go. Whether or not they knew that or not, I don't know. When it comes to billionaires, I would think that if they're going to the Titanic, they wouldn't want to spare a dime for their safety to get to where they're going. But for whatever reason, this thing sounded like it would have been better off at West Edmonton Mall than it would have been 40,000 feet under the Atlantic off the coast of Newfoundland. It just, there's so many things that come to mind going, this should never have happened. This should never have been allowed. There was apparently lawsuits that were on this manufacturer about the depths that they were actually saying this thing could go down when it couldn't. There was things about NASA being involved. Like, there's so much surrounding this. I don't want to compare it to the missing flight that happened in Malaysia, but there's just so much kind of WTF around this situation that something's rotten in Denmark.
Well, fortunately, a lot of things have come out. So they talked about how the University of, was it UCLA or University of Washington that they consulted on this project?
One or the other. I don't know exactly, but yeah, you'd probably know better than I would.
Yeah, well, they cited them as, we had them heavily involved in the operation of testing and approving everything. And the university's like, we were never consulted.
Oh,
never
wow.
Once were we consulted. And then they said, well, NASA had their hands involved. And NASA's like, yeah, well, we heard about it, but we didn't actually have any hands-on involvement. So it's just the more and more it gets uncovered, the worse it looks. And I mean, the former, I can't remember if he was pretty high up. I don't know if he was like a manager or like a vice president or something. He had some heavy, heavy role in the company. And he brought forward maybe 2-3 years ago, was like, hey, we shouldn't be doing this. Like, this is not safe. We should do more testing. Boom, fired. Right? You know what that's like, right, Dave? Wrongful termination?
Don't know what you're talking about.
Well, the guy gets fired, and then obviously this happens. And by the way, I found this out recently. This specific, the Titan submersible, they did a test run in 2021. They did another in 2022. This was the third voyage, and this happened. Can you imagine if you're the guys in the last one, and they didn't die, how close you maybe were to dying?
Well, right? the one that really kind of made me scratch my head was I had read that this thing is only... you can only open it from the outside. Like, you basically like, all right, you in, and then the rivets go in, and that's it. Like, you're until you come back up, you're in.
Yeah, I saw some meme the other day that was like, when you pay $250,000 to go down to the Titanic, but you find out that it's not a round trip, it's only a one way.
Man, oh man,
tough. Just I saw another one too. Titanic 2.
Yeah,
billionaires none.
Oh.
Sorry.
There was speaking of which, there was a billionaire, I think in, I want to say Australia, but I'm not 100% sure. But the idea was that they were going to build an exact replica, you know, tile by tile, like everything down to the nuts and bolts, obviously with modern technology. And they're going to sail this thing or make this thing seaworthy. And I think it was the pandemic that actually slowed it down. But this thing was actually under construction at one point where they were going to rebuild the Titanic. And I kind of thought, man, it's just such a cursed voyage. And here's proof of that again. I mean, I think it's just one of those things that, you know, you got to let it sink and let it stay there. I don't know why we keep going back there. I mean, James Cameron already documented it really well, not only in the movie, but he actually did a documentary, went down and got footage that no one's ever seen before. We're good. We understand. We know the story. Let's just let old stories die.
Well, he did a story in an interview this morning talking about he's done 33 successful dives to the Titanic wreck and back, and he said that he's accounted the time that he's spent doing the dives. He believes that he has spent more time on the Titanic than Captain Edward Smith did before he went down to the ship, which is crazy, right? The dude was the captain. He was a part of the testing. He did the 4 days before they sunk. So just to give you an idea of how much time James Cameron spent there. But do you feel the same way, Dave? Because I remember when I was like 4 and 5 years old even, I was just beyond obsessed with Titanic. I was reading the Ken Marshall books, any Titanic stuff I can get, whether it was specifically the picture books because I couldn't read, the Ken Marshall paintings or any information. I was always fascinated by it. Now, obviously, at 26, turning 27 in 2 days, the man-made moving objects of the world's greatest ship, the trains, all this, it just fascinates me that it's something that big, you know, an ass that's like 20, 30, 40,000 tons just moves and motors through the ocean. 5 days was all it was going to take before they hit the iceberg.
Well, you know what? The second they said this thing is unsinkable.
God himself could not sink this ship.
I believe that was the actual line. And there's very few people that have been able to pull off predictions like that, Babe Ruth being one, Mark Messier being another one. When you say something and have it come to fruition, you're asking for trouble when you put the bar that high.
That's tough. It's tough. I mean, like so many things went wrong. How much time do we have? Do we have time to explain it? Yeah, we got a couple minutes. So if you're not too familiar with the Titanic situation, the series of events that happened for the ship to sink and for everything to shake down the way that it did was just mind-boggling. Like, for example, they were going to set sail in March of 1912, but they had some construction issues, and also the Titanic colliding with the Olympic, which was actually the twin sister ship of the Titanic, ended up pushing back the Olympic having a collision, pushed back the launch of the Titanic until April. And then in addition to that, originally they were going to have the 48 lifeboats. The White Star Line said, it looks cluttered. We'll never use them anyway. Knock it down to 24. And then before they set sail, there was a fire on the inside, right side of the ship, the same side that the iceberg hit. And it was a coal fire. Now, they put it out, but they believe that it weakened the steel so that when the iceberg came and slashed along the side, it had a significantly easier time. And then you fast forward to the actual sailing of the ship. The Titanic was deemed unsinkable because four watertight compartments. So four compartments, you could bash them open. They were airtight, watertight, so the ship could stay afloat through the whole sailing with the four compartments flooded. But the iceberg punched open five, so they were done. And keeping in mind, the iceberg flushed in about 300 gallons of water per minute with the Titanic. And it only took them about 2.5 hours to sink, which is a pretty good amount of time. But even on the night that they sailed, they're going full steam ahead to try to break the record for the fastest crossing. While they're going through this, oh, my dishwasher's done. I got to put the dishes away after the show. I don't know if you heard that or not. But they're going full steam ahead.
Like a mouse in a cage, just heard the bell. Oh, here we go.
Oh, dinner's ready. OCD right there. You saw it live on the show. But they're going full steam ahead. Captain Smith has been warned about these ice warnings.
By the way, here's a little cheat sheet. If the Waterton Wolves are ever on the road, bring the sound of a dishwasher finishing if you ever want to distract Travis when he's starting.
They bring a dishwasher. They just strip it down empty so it's easier to hold out.
It's like people holding up signs for Brizgalov of the Bears. If he's holding up dishwashers for you.
With a sign on the front, Ridgen, start the bus.
Sorry, go ahead, wrap your Titanic talk.
Yes, I'll wrap it up. So they're going full steam, asses in gear over the night. They're going, I think, 25, almost 30 knots, so about 60 kilometers an hour, which is crazy speed. Right through the middle of the night, middle of the ice warnings. It's iceberg season. They've been warned about these icebergs, and there's no moon, only starlight. So there's no actual moon to reflect the light off the iceberg in front of them so the lookouts can see it. They also, the guy who was in charge of the binoculars for the lookouts was left in Southampton, and he brought the keys with him. So they didn't have access to binoculars to see the iceberg in time. So you have no reflection coming off the iceberg from the moon. You have the calmest night on the water that Captain Smith had ever seen. In his 30 years, he'd never seen a flat so calm. So there's no water breaking at the base of the iceberg to see it. They hit it, it punches five compartments open, not four, and just mistake after mistake after mistake. The lifeboats not having 48 instead of 24. They spent the first hour and a half messing around, filling them with like 12 people. So many mistakes, and then the ship sinks. Obviously, it breaks in half, and they took too long to go find the people in the water. Just so many mistakes. It led to this catastrophic event. I don't know if this is dark or evil to say. I just find it so fascinating. It's just so, just something about it. Maybe because it's so mysterious, we don't know much about it.
Let me tell you something that you might not actually know. And the reason why I know this is because it directly reflects my industry of terrestrial radio. But the Titanic sinking is what actually forced the hand. And it's why we have the FCC, essentially the FCC and the CRTC, because when it was in the process of sinking, there was a report saying that it had already sank. There was a report saying that it had already landed. The wiretapping that was going back and forth. There's a reason why now. If you imagine like radio waves, like a lasagna, there's layers of it, and everyone has their designated frequency, so they don't get jumbled and messages get mixed in. But the reason for that is because of the Titanic.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Good to know.
That's the Coles Notes version of it, yeah.
We'll pick up more next. Well, actually, no, we won't even pick it up more next week because we got some updates to let you know real quick before we let you go. So this is going to be the last episode with Dave and I, probably for about 3-ish weeks, maybe 4, depending on. Next week is going to be that Nick DeGoli episode that we talked about previously. The week after is going to be the YouTube Masterclass episode that Dave and I have already pre-recorded, so that's not going to be a new episode, but we have done that. After that is going to be Ilya Brizgalov, the interview that I shared with him the other day. And then when I'm in Halifax on Monday, Rob, the good-looking blonde devil, as you like to call him, we are Wes Scantlin, a Puddle Mudd's doppelganger. We are going to be doing an in-person episode, and that'll give me and Dave a nice little break, and then we'll kind of kick things back up again for the end of July, beginning of August, and kind of start working our way into the season when I'm back from Toronto and Winnipeg and Halifax, and then we just, you know, getting into the groove for the season. So that's the future podcast program for the next couple weeks.
Enjoy your summer. Send me an email if you want to keep in touch. Dave at energy106.ca. Sign up to be a Patreon member. That really helps us out. Thank you to all of our sponsors, by the way, for continuing to support us throughout the summer. And again, congrats to you. You're officially you're a Watertownian. You're a Watertownian Wolf, and I can't wait for the season. I'm even looking forward to summer ending to get back into hockey.
I think Watertonian, like an Edmontonian, which you should know. You're from the area. But I'd like to remind everybody, Sling the Biscuit, we drop a new episode at every Sunday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 in Winnipeg, 9 in Calgary, 8 on the West Coast. Whether it's Dave and I, Nick Weston, Nick the goalie and I the following week, or Ilya Brzgalov every single Sunday. And me and Dave look forward to seeing you for the next episode of Sling the Biscuit. We'll see you soon. Oh, episode 47, the James Reimer episode, before I forget. We'll see you next Sunday. There we go.